The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 49.
Episode 49. Good to be here.
And it's good to be alive.
It is currently not raining right now.
It's not raining. It's an absolutely beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting out by the pond while the littles were kayaking and fishing.
Yeah, they've been itching to go kayaking for like the last week now.
We don't allow them out there unsupervised, so... I was eating a medium rare prime rib
while kayaking, not while fishing.
Yes, while kayaking, they cannot be unsupervised.
Yeah, while they're swimming,
they're pretty good at fishing by themselves.
Yeah, yeah. It's just when they're in the water,
they can even
stuff can
take
happen.
The fish off the hook and all that kind of cool
all
stuff.
That type of cool stuff.
Better than Matt.
Yeah, way better than me.
Yeah, so they don't apparently have to go to the emergency room
apparently
or anything like that. All right, so let's jump right into the podcast. We're recording rather late for us tonight because
it's 8 o'clock.
We're getting older as we speak, but
more and more busy.
Let's talk about way more busy. Let's talk about around the farm. So, what's been going on around the farm?
Around the farm of lately, has mainly been today clearing a lot more land. We pretty much initially with the 15 acres that we bought, here at the farm, we've been slowly, I take that back to pretty much the 20 acres that we have here at the farm, the homestead, then we have the ranch property, which is 25 acres where we have, 4 cows over there and we're going to be building the herd. But, we went through and we cleared, the 15 acres that was not cleared, and it was super raw land, had only been thinned commercially, and when they commercially thin, they trash your property. Would not recommend thinning unless you really need to, or unless you're going to thin it and then sell it. There is a lot of money that you have to put into it, so unless you can harvest enough to then take that money from all of your lumber that you harvested and then put it back into, you know, grading it all out, filling in all the ruts and everything like that. I think the one thing that really hurt us over there is when they did clear it, they cleared it when it was super wet outside.
Right.
And they made 3 to 4 foot deep ruts over there. So that's what we were working on. So initially we went in there for about 3 days and we, initially we were bush hogging and doing all that type of stuff. And then we went in with a, skid steer with a shredder attachment, did an amazing job, put about 24 hours on there for the first week. Then now we came back for additional, at least we put probably a good 30 hours of clearing over there now. And, we were able to get that in 2 days. We were able to get about 30 hours of clearing in over there, which was awesome. And just from sun up to sundown, we were working over there clearing. I was on the tractor with the brush forks. Yeah, it was 6 to 12. Pretty much both days we had it. And the machine ran really, really good. It's a John Deere 325G, and it was really, really good. Great machine. And it does a great job. I really love going back the second time and doing a pass over everything we had already mulched and just doing a perfectly fine, just mulching of everything too. And there was a couple spots, clumps that we weren't able to hit the previous time. And then also we got a bucket and we were able to fill probably about 60 to 70% of the potholes and ruts. Skid steers, once you kind of get used to them with their bucket on the front, you can really grade really, really well with them. Once you get it down, they do have road planes, and I would eventually love to rent one, a skid steer with a road plane, which my buddy Nick does have a road plane there at his rental shop in Hughes Springs. And so all that to say, that's what we've been really working on mainly is clearing the land, getting it all done. I talked to William from Permapasture
The permaculture
consultant. Yeah, permaculture consultant. I always get him and his dad's channel mixed up. But he was saying that I should plant some, I think he said buckwheat, I think over there, something like that. Buckwheat and then some type of pea over there.
Yeah.
And he said that combo's good. And oats, which we've had really, really good success with oats and winter rye, but you can't plant winter rye right now. But I definitely want to go ahead and spread some type of cover crop over all of the fresh new ground that we have tilled up over there. But yeah, really exciting that's all happening over there. Trying to think of anything else that we've been doing. James today was working on doing some vinyl wrapping on the Tacoma truck, which is great. Doing black vinyl on the old white vehicles is incredible. It really pops, makes you look really professional. Also, we were actually able to, we finally figured out our logo for our company too. So that was great because it was really basic, which is fine, you know, but I really wanted to, I know pretty much most brands, they figure out a really cool looking logo and then kind of center their whole business and brand around that logo. So we really spent a good amount of time thinking about what it should be. And we finally found one and we actually saw it and then we actually purchased it actually, on a logo site. Actually, we tried recreating it for a couple hours, couldn't get it perfect how we saw it. And we're like, hey, for $15 or whatever, we're like, we'll get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's worth the 15.
Yeah. Because me and James kept on trying and we're like, man, we just can't get it to look as sharp as that one does. So we're like, it's $15. I think it actually had like, I think it brought it up with tax on a digital item.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It made it almost $20 or something.
Thank you, Uberman.
Oh yes. My goodness. So anyway, who would have thunk it? But anyway, so now it looks super slick. James was actually able to take off the one letter of permanent vinyl. Since it's high quality vinyl, he was able to take it off and then swap it out with our new logo really, really well. And it just looks, it's an extra touch of detail on our trailer, on our trucks.
Now you can get that on a hat. That'll look
on a hat. Logo. He even put it on the hood. Like I told him, like only helicopters are going to see that. No, he's going to, but on the 350, he put a big one right there on the hood.
Oh,
I was like, you're only going to see that if you're like right up on the truck. But he just thought it would be cool to do that. That's James. Always overkill.
Every time.
Overkill.
Yeah.
But other than that, the weather men have been off like every day for the last 2 weeks. It's been insane trying to like,
including today.
Yeah. Trying to plan out jobs and renting equipment is terrible. I don't know why it feels like the worst 2 weeks of strange weather events.
Smacked. Predicting terrible weather for us. And
I know it just keeps kind of going around us. There's definitely terrible weather happening. There's flooding happening everywhere. Literally every day I get into my truck, I'm going to a job or something. The Google Maps tells me flood warning, may redirect or something. I'm like, what in the world? But I know Arms family, they got smacked by a mega tornado up there, flattened pretty much most of their hometown up there. That was on trending a couple days ago. So definitely be praying for the people up there in Oklahoma. But yeah, and praise the Lord, we didn't get hit down
his
here.
His town is something like Sulphur Springs or something. I forget
something
exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
We've been up there. We've been up there
once.
So be praying for those folks up there.
Definitely.
That's a good point. But that's pretty much everything that's been going on.
Relatively speaking, yep.
Around the farm. And we'll get into some other stuff off the farm. It kind of in the main topic because it kind of melds with really what we want to talk about. Next would be health check. So how's your, have you developed scurvy yet?
No,
scurvy. I think we're both scurvy free.
I don't want to I don't believe in jinxing yourself, but,
Thank you so much.
But
we are Christians. We're not pagans,
but we haven't been sick.
Need to knock on wood.
We haven't been sick in incredibly long time. It feels like anyway. And any lingering coughing or anything like that. And it's been incredible just to be a normal human being, not to have lingering side effects. It's so It's so incredible. And tomorrow I will probably be deathly sick. But anyway, because I said it now. But
that's a possibility.
I'm trying not to think about it because it's amazing being
healthy. Name and claim it.
So personally, I'm thinking now with being carnivore, kind of more keto personally for me.
Cheeto. You're a Cheeto.
Cheeto, because you're a big Cheeto. I still love my hamburgers. So anyway. Every day. Pretty much, almost. Yeah,
almost.
Mm-hmm. So,
almost pretty much.
Pretty much. So anyway, yeah, Cheeto. I don't Cheeto. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. Health check. Doing great. Definitely, progressing definitely in, strength and everything like that. Trying to think, I did 250, weighted shrugs yesterday. So that was great. That was all time, for me, PB. Need to get more weight for my Olympic bar because then I can lower my reps, because it's just kind of insane going up to 250 before, you know, getting true failure. But definitely really liking that. Also doing, I forget the name for it, but another method that I've been testing out, and I've seen really good results with it. What's it called? But it's for maximizing your hypertrophy, but it's with your, I forget if it's either short range or long range, I forget, but it's just when you don't fully extend your muscles and you're only using the upper part of the muscle range.
Concentric movements.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So it's actually perfect. So say if you have if you're going to be doing, say, 20 reps of curls, right? For the first, this is normally what I do. For the first like 10 to 15, I do full range. But then at the end, like the last 10 or 5, I will only go halfway down with the bar and then come back up. And doing that in a very controlled manner, controlling the decentric definitely is just as important as when you're lifting up and contracting. So I've definitely seen a lot of benefit with that. And then definitely still... On not everyone, but on certain ones, going to failure, feeling what failure feels like is always a really good one. Then on certain ones where I like to push harder, definitely taking a 2-minute break instead of a 1-minute break. I was doing 1-minute breaks for easier sets. I do 1-minute breaks, but then with heavier loads, because I've been really progressing with now having wrist straps. Definitely helps with getting up to 125 pounds on the Olympic bar, doing curls and stuff. That's really been helping. And then I started back up. I don't know why I didn't, but I just kind of slouched off on it and I needed to get back into it. But overhead press with the Olympic bar, I haven't done those since shoulder surgery, but it's really good because need to definitely start practicing with that more, because that hits your lower chest and your upper, I forget what this delts. So that's definitely really good for strengthening your shoulders and everything like that when performed properly. But all that said, yeah, health check's doing good. Strength's doing good. How about you?
Well, for those of y'all that didn't get to check it out, I was able to have Dr. Chafee on for an interview, and it kind of became a breakthrough because we talked a little bit before the podcast and then after the podcast, and I was explaining my shoulder issue and explained how I was getting a good relief from hanging. And he brought something up that I'd watched a couple videos on and I'd wanted to do it with these one arm hangs, and when you arm hang, you rotate. If I was you, I probably wouldn't do that, but just because of the way your shoulder is,
rotate with your wrists or with your shoulder.
No, you rotate your whole body. So as you're hanging, you rotate left and right.
Oh, okay.
And what it does is it opens and closes the shoulder, and, and I've advanced enough now where I can easily hang one-handedly, even with my left arm. And so 3 days ago, I started the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally, the bicep tendinesis where they reattach the bicep is what's been hampering me from like doing curls and different things. Cause it just always felt like if I tried to hold it, it felt like it wasn't going, felt like junk was going to snap is what it felt like.
And it's like probably, it's almost like if you teared your bicep, since I cut it, you know, and then reattached it.
So since I've been doing these rotations, you know, when you rotate left and right, you really feel a stretch there.
Hmm.
But since I've done that, I know for a fact I could probably do curls now.
That's awesome.
And it just continues to feel better because, you know, he was explaining, you know, basically your arm isn't really technically attached to your body. It's a bunch of tendons and whatnot.
True,
so he said, if you develop all the muscles properly, I should be able to, relatively speaking, get all the way back to kind of where I was, so to speak. You know, now when the labrum, when there isn't a labrum and the two different bones kind of hit
together. What did he say? Did he say anything specifically? I'm terrible because I didn't listen to the podcast and I need to listen to my own podcast, but I haven't made time. I've been listening to Jordan Peterson of lately. but I need to listen to that one, especially, but did he talk anything? Did he talk, say anything about your, when they did like, detach your bicep and then reattach it? Did he say that, you know, you could build strength back up in that?
Oh yeah. Bicep? I know guys that have done that.
Okay.
Have had their bicep moved and they've been able to, there's lots of guys that have even detached their bicep, you know, just ripped their bicep head and he stitched it back together. They'd had to move it. So I know that that's super viable.
Okay.
I even know guys that have ripped their bicep and haven't reattached it. And then it looks all super gnarly.
That's like Athlean X. He partially tore his bicep and he still trains with it.
Yeah. And, and that's the thing. If you can properly train,
I mean, if it ain't fully broke, don't fix it, I guess, type of thing, you know?
Yes and no. You know, I used to have that philosophy and it kind of
bit you in the butt.
It led me down a road that I would prefer to not be on, but God is in control. So there we are.
Live and learn.
Major breakthrough. Cause
that's great.
I was really kind of plateauing, still pain free, still sleeping okay.
Still 8 million times better than where you were.
Yes.
Originally, like literally suicidal.
Yeah. Well, not suicidal, but wanting to die. There's a big difference. I know it sounds like you're splitting hairs, but like, would never take my own life, would never dream of taking my own life.
But
it'd be really cool. Like, you know, if a Mack truck hit me, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, you know?
Okay. So
not that I would like invoke that.
Okay.
But like, if something really terrible happened, as long as I die instantaneously,
not
it
being
wouldn't
a vegetable.
Be the worst thing in the world. But but I understand what you're trying to say, son.
Yeah. On the edge.
On the edge. But yeah, so that's the health check. I feel like, and I really feel like, and the other thing I did, I installed a pull-up bar at work.
Mm.
So outside my office, I installed a
pull-up bar. So how many times are you hanging a day?
Oh, at least 10 times a
day. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. For up longer than a minute.
Over a minute and a half.
Wow.
You know,
that's great.
After, you know, the first time I can hang almost 3 minutes.
But then after that,
you destroyed. You're kind of smoked. You know, your grip.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem I have is the calluses continue to build up. And once your calluses get so thick, they start to crack and everything. So I have to actually file them down.
That's what I have to do too.
Yeah. Because if I don't file them down, they'll crack and split open.
Get nasty.
And I look like Marty Rainey or something. But
man, that guy's
one gigantic callus, y'all.
Bro.
Yeah.
I've shook his hand before. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's wild.
It's incredible.
I don't know how he does that, man.
I don't know. Get
his hands that callous, that's health check. All is well. We do want to remind you of our sponsors. One of the main sponsors for today's video is Exit and Build Land Summit. That's going to be May 17th through the 19th. And the Texas boys will be there. So we're going to be there Friday and Saturday. So it's going to be a great meetup. Hopefully Blue Diamond Bill's there.
There you go.
Maybe a couple other locals.
That'd be cool.
Use the links down below for the Exit and Build Land Summit. Lots of great speakers, Jack Spearco, Joel Salatin, JP Sears is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Derek Bros, John Bush, Nicole Sauce, Mike Adams. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of looking forward to going back, and it's all about, and if you want to know more about the Exit and Build Land Summit, on Wednesday, I'm going to have John Bush on, and we're going to be talking about it.
Awesome.
So stay tuned for that. Great. But they're one of the sponsors of today.
Yeah. If you are thinking or considering going down there, I would highly recommend going ahead right now and checking out and getting an Airbnb, or a hotel room or something, because it's going to get packed. That's what happened last year, and stuff started getting booked up, relatively things that were relatively close to there. So I would highly recommend that. That's what we did. We actually are going back to our original rental place, which is so cool because it was
last time. It's 5 minutes.
It was straight. 5 minutes down the road. Literally, you pull out of the driveway, you go straight and you turn right. And it's like right there.
Yeah.
Isn't great. There a HEB there too? HEB?
Yep. There's an HEB.
HEB like right up the road. So it's all, it's like a super, the big one, the mega one.
Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah. So we're going to be able to do
a lot of fun. Lots of great people.
Yeah. Last time.
And when you talk about going to these events and meeting people, you know, we met Mike Adams, and he interviewed us, and then he had us in his studio.
Yeah. And then we got to tour his studio, factory.
Yeah.
Practically, it is incredible. A factory.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, it's insane. It's
and
absolutely
that's the kind
insane.
Of cool, high caliber people you meet, and it was great experience. And
yeah, he wasn't even supposed to be there. He just popped
in
for the fun of it. Yeah, it was really cool.
And so it's lots of fun, y'all. And you don't have to sit through everything.
No,
we just go to the certain speakers that we want to hear.
And we're 5 minutes away. So if y'all could find a spot that's kind of that close, you know, if there's not a speaker for the next hour, we normally just go back home, crash for an hour, and then come back. You know, so great about it, you know,
it was great.
Being so close to it. That's why I really loved about it.
It was a great experience. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We weren't going. I was kind of contemplating not going, but then when I heard JP was going, then, you know, Joel Salatin was going to be there, I was like, okay, there's enough cool guys going to be there. I'm like, we got to go check them out, you know? So finally going to
this
be
year,
able
Mike
to,
Adams is a speaker too.
Yeah. So finally going to be able to meet these guys in the flesh, shake their hand, you know, get to know who they really are in real life. It's going to be really cool. So definitely highly recommend, even if you are far away, making the drive, making the fly, possibly.
You can get the virtual immersion thing if you can't make the drive. So that's an option too to just get the information.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yep. So now let's go into verse of the day.
All right. Verse of the day.
So verse of the day is Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So, you know, the concept here, and this is really kind of a life verse for us. We wanted to live a slower, less hyper-consumer, intentional way of life. And when you decide to do that and you reject pop culture and mainstream, for lack of better words, you do have to design and build your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it's a conscious effort, and it's completely and utterly intentional. And when you take action and you are intentional and you design your day, you can add and subtract from your day what holds the highest priority and importance. And there's a lot of life lessons there. And you can design and build the life you want. You know, you either will design and build the life you want, or you will live somebody else's life, or you will just bob aimlessly and you will be the sum total of the happenstance that happens to you, and you'll probably be a victim as well. So, you know, the encouragement there is seek the old paths, the good way. You know, it's not the newest, brightest, and shiniest thing. It's not the newest tech. It's certainly not anything that this world has to offer. That is for sure. It's literally the opposite of that. And that's not to say, you know, we're Luddites and, you know, we reject modernity and modernization.
No, we're here on a podcast.
Yeah, we're on a podcast.
We have a YouTube channel.
We stream.
We drive vehicles.
We use tech. We very much love petrol.
We are big advocates for gasoline, diesel, all the non-dinosaur juice.
We are rabid petrol users.
Yeah, big time.
So that's the verse for today. I hope that encourages you, or maybe it will admonish you and give you something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get, because this is going to speak right directly into our topic. And our topic is a little bit twofold. There was an article recently posted in our local newspaper, and that's what I kind of wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to bleed into something else that we did this week. But this article comes out of Quitman, Texas, and it was written by Jordan Green on April 4th. The article's title is "It's Time East Texas Farmers, Ranchers Are Retiring, But Few Being Replaced." Most of the now defunct Kyle L. Hayes Dairy looks the way it did about a year ago when the longtime dairyman's cows were milked for the last time. From 91 to 2023, Hayes raised every cow in his herd. He built his own barns, harvested his own hay, and with the help of his family, cared for the cattle that produced nearly 1,400 gallons of milk daily. But when his wife had a stroke last year, he was no longer able to keep the operation near equipment going. His son, who helped him run it for years, didn't want to take it over. Another small family-run East Texas dairy shut down for good. And Hayes' dairy is far from the only East Texas agricultural operation that has run its course. Across the nation, farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural producers like Hayes, who've run family farms and ranches for decades, are retiring, leaving the profession, or shutting down their operations. In many cases, their families aren't keeping these operations alive, in part because of the high cost of being in agriculture. Most of the younger generations don't want to farm, period, said Hayes, age 71. Land that once provided Americans with food often is repurposed and developed, and the number of people who feed the country is smaller, even though remaining operations become larger, leading some to wonder whether corporations could control an outsized share of agricultural production and consumer prices. And that is absolutely happening. End of an era. North of Longview, 73-year-old overall wearing Buck Birdsong has spent most of his life ranching. His piece of land has been in the family for more than 100 years. Someone else could own it soon. It's for sale. And while some cattle are still grazing in the pasture down the hill from his home, most of his herd is gone. Do I want to sell it? No. But it's just, it's time, Birdsong said softly one March morning. You're seeing the small guys slowly leaving the business, and nobody's replacing us. We're very few, very few. The number of farms in Texas decreased by 7%, more than 17,700 farms between 2017 and 2022, said Gary Joyner, the director of communications for Texas Farm Bureau, a leading agriculture advocacy institution. Wow. That's sobering, Joyner said. Those figures come from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's most recent census of agriculture, which was released in February. The data show farmers are mostly older. The average age of the Texas farmer is now 59.9.
Wow.
And fewer in number. Gregg County had 706 agricultural producers as of 22, down from 869 in 17.
Wow.
According to the Ag Census, Smith County had 4,700 in 17 and 4,400 in 22. Wood County, where Hayes lives, had 2,500 in 17, and now it has 2,460 in 22. Hayes has seen numbers like those play out in the past several years. I think we had 100 dairies in Wood County, and Hopkins County had like 530.
Wow.
They was the dairy capital of Texas, Hayes said, and they're not even close to it now. I think Wood County might have 12 now, and they're big dairies. And Hopkins County, they may have 35 to 40. So he's saying that it went from 530 to 40.
Wow.
And, you know, this is what guys like Texas Slim and the Beef Initiative is talking about, microprocessors and micro producers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, you know, what we're aspiring to do. And we use a microprocessor, Hopkins County. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Titus County, and they're definitely a microprocessor, a little family owned business. And, you know, so when you buy our beef, you're supporting us, you're supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a local pickup. The money is staying here regionally.
Yep.
And,
it's not going overseas.
Yeah. And I'm going to have Trinity Vandenacre on Friday.
Awesome.
And we're going to be talking about the cattle and ranching industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do we keep and preserve and grow that?
Yeah.
And, you know, the reality of it is, how do you do it? Well, you got to take some responsibility for it. You got to do it yourself. And it doesn't mean that we all have to be ranchers. It doesn't mean that we all have to be farmers.
I think the one other thing, too, is I see it kind of happening time and time again and it's kind of crazy how it kind of happens to all these ranchers. Like, you know, they have a family, and then their kids grow up and then totally abandon it or don't want to take it over. And it's very strange. Normally because they have gone to the Prussian school system, have gotten educated. The one man has a Texas A&M hat on, you know, nothing against them, but you know, they go to these colleges, and no matter what college you go to, they're woke in some sort of way. And they really do not want you to be doing this type of, have that type of lifestyle. You know, they want you to have some type of stupid degree that will inevitably not be able to actually provide for you. Because a lot of these degrees that they're handing out nowadays, they don't even have a job for you when you get out with this degree. You know, so I definitely see that. The other thing too is that these farmers, you know, that might have 200, you know, from 100 to 300 to 400 head, I've seen several. I personally have witnessed two of them, and they both say the exact same thing. They got 300 to 400 head of cows, and they say they break even every year. And I'm thinking, what in the world? You break even every year? How's that possible? How can I sell a couple cows a year and make somewhat decent money off of it, but you can have 300 to 400 cows and you break even every year? How's that even physically possible? And it's just because it's a broken system that they're doing.
Yeah. By design.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're trying to compete with Walmart.
Yeah. And they're,
you know,
they're trying to function inside that broken system that's broken, instead of exiting that system.
You're trying to compete against feedlots.
Yeah.
You know, and as you can see, this man has his cows out on pasture, but guess what? He's going to be trying to compete with feedlot prices it used to be, it's went way up now, but it used to be less than $1 a pound, you know, And when it would fluctuate like that was insane, and it would kill these guys, you know. And between the vaccines and the dewormers and everything like that, which we still deworm our cows, with the Northeast Texas weather, you kind of really have to deworm your cows, sadly. But
yeah, if they need it,
if they need it, if they need it. So, but definitely you do not need to vaccinate your cows. So they spend lots of money in vaccinations. And then also, I can't tell you how much, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, no joke, in Grazon and trying to make their pastures look beautiful. And it's insane. And the proof's in the pudding over at our ranch, because our grass over there is no joke over 3 foot tall. Like, it's insane. It's waist high right now. Absolutely gorgeous. All we have put on in the last, how many years have we owned the ranch?
Five or six years.
Organic rabbit fertilizer. We try our hardest to roll out non-sprayed hay, but you know that it's not we're not perfect, and there we have used some non-sprayed hay and paid the piper on that too over there, introducing a couple different weeds over there, mainly thistle in certain spots where I rolled out some of those hay bales. But the key is to defeating most of these weeds around here is to have thick, lush grass. And the goat weed only will pop up where there is thin spots, okay? And the incredible thing about goat weed is that it can stay in your ground dormant for up to 40 years, Mr. Larry was telling me. And the craziest thing is it's kind of, it's very sad, but kind of almost funny at the same time. But Mr. Larry passed away, and this is his best year ever. So he's probably looking down and absolutely enjoying that. And his pasture is literally the best I've ever seen it. Not a single goat weed in it. So sadly, I do wish he was here to enjoy that. But we're here to enjoy it, and I'm able to go over there and look at it. And it's really cool just seeing all of his work that he was able to do over there. And it's finally paying off, and it's looking absolutely gorgeous over there. Yeah, it's definitely a broken system, you know, and to kind of get back on topic here, it's definitely really sad. But yeah, like you were saying, it's really going to just be a push back to, you know, getting more connected to your food source, you know, and raising your own food, or just shaking a farmer's hand, connecting with them. Just being there for them,
keeping your money local.
Sure. When they do get older like that, being able to be like, hey, look, we can go take over, you know, whatever, you know, if you kind of live farther away or something, we can go out there, check on their water, put out hay, different stuff like that. That's what we did for Mr. Larry, up until he passed away. And we're still doing it. We're still going over there a couple times a week, checking on their waters. We were putting out hay until it started greening up here and started going gangbusters. But yeah, it's definitely a broken system, and it's definitely very sad to see that, you know, that we're losing so many farms.
You know, and we could lament this, you know, and where we can do something about it. So
definitely,
you know, one of the things we're doing about it is embracing the culture of an agrarian culture. We're trying to provide for our community.
Yeah. This is also a business opportunity. Yeah. You see this and you see dollar signs. Okay. This is a great business opportunity to be able to come into the market.
And that's what's really getting missed on a lot of these kind of more of like doom and gloom. And I mean, statistically, it is doom and gloom.
Sure.
When you go from 530 dairies to 40,
big time,
you know, and, you know, as people become more educated about food and are like, oh, maybe buying and drinking all Walmart milk isn't good for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe I will find
and look into A2A2.
Yeah, and if I have to pay more, you know, you get what you pay for. And historically, our food was 80%. Historically, 80% before the industrial boom, 80% of your cost of living was food related. And that 80% comprised either of your money or your time. you know, food's going to cost you one of two things, money or time or both, you know, and when you're participating in that process, it is work and it's hard work. And, you know, and it's the same work that God gave Adam, you know, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow so you can eat.
Yep.
And when we outsourced all that to this synthetic matrix, right, of this, you know, concrete jungle, and this way, everybody in Babylonia
took the mother and the father out of the home,
can get, have
wonder, farmed out the kids.
Yeah. Can have Wonder Bread on the 56th floor of the high rise, you know, until
30 cents,
put their mom loaf in the old folks home because she has dementia because she ate Wonder Bread for the last 80 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are consequences. There are consequences to living an artificial life. And, you know, and there are stuff that happens that's completely out of your control.
Of course.
But when you know better and you eat toxic food and your solution is, well, I pray over my McDonald's hamburger, you know, that's, you know, that's foolish. You know, you don't tempt God by praying over your McDonald's hamburger. You forego the McDonald's hamburger and you eat a quality hamburger, right? And you still pray over it. You're thankful for it.
Sure.
But you don't pray over it because it's like virtually plastic.
Yeah.
Right. With like soy cheese or whatever. And so part of the solution is to be the solution, right?
Sure.
Part of the solution is to participate.
Yeah.
But the other part of the solution is parallel network, parallel economy, parallel community. And that's why this past Saturday, we had a community meetup at Grumpy's
Garden
Club.
It was great.
And it was,
we probably had almost 30 people out.
Yep. 30 or 40 people. It was spectacular. Yeah. It was a great
turnout.
Didn't
know that many people were going to come out.
Yeah. Awesome people.
Felt more like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
You know, and at least we were like, hey, if nobody shows up, we're at least going to be able to chill with William, you know, but lots of people showed up, you know?
Yeah. Even though I messed up the schedule and Grumpy was at the Gladewater Farmer's Market.
Yeah, we thought he was having his farmer's market there.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just and us I chickens.
It was still great. Great turnout. Great people.
Yeah.
Couple drove as far from Arlington. Yeah, another couple drove
two and a half hours.
Terrell.
Crazy. Yeah. And, it was great.
And they were greatly encouraged. We were greatly encouraged.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So we're going to do this every month. And I talked to Grumpy. And he's going to let us use his facility. So we're going to keep you posted. Probably what we'll do, we'll put it out in our newsletter. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you're signed up.
I didn't do that last time. Yeah. Sorry about
that. Make sure you're signed up. And then we're probably going to do a page on our website that'll have our meetup schedule.
Yep.
Because we'll try to do it once a month, but we're really busy. So it may, it'll probably change a little bit every now and then.
Yeah.
And so if we have like an active calendar, you'll be able to check it. We'll announce it. We'll email everybody out that's interested. But the amazing thing is it's like, it's way more as encouraging it as it is to everybody else. It's way more encouraging to us
because,
you know, here we are this forever super huge, tiny channel because, you know, everybody's like, oh, 100, you know, and, you know, super shadow ban and all that stuff. But the people, we have like amazing subs and customers that they're just
super loyal,
fanatic, and it's great, you know, and we love and appreciate them, and to be able to meet them, shake their hand, you know, and encourage them and then hear what they're doing. And that encourages us. And that is, I mean, that's really what it's all about. And by doing that and having that network, one, it's creating awareness and importance. You know, the reason we talk about some of this current events and newsworthy stuff is because it's really important to know, you know, there's a lot of these normies and whatnot, and they want to stay under their normalcy bias with their head stuck in the sand and like, well, you know, even though we just had like just in the last 3 or 4 years, we've had like wild supply chain issues and crazy stuff happen that could never happen. And well, that'll never happen. And then it literally happened.
Literally.
Right. And now a couple years go by and the United States of amnesia, as my buddy Billy calls it, it is the United.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen in the last 30 days, it didn't happen.
Mm.
And the United States of amnesia, he's like, I forget some, he's got all these one timers,
but
he's like, you can fall to sleep drinking the hemlock or something,
something like that.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
And, big shout out to the Permaculture Pimp Cast and my brother, Billy.
Yeah.
My brother from another mother. That's our brother podcast, y'all. Mm, so
yeah,
check out the Permaculture Pimp Cast. And we really appreciate William and his family. That was
definitely
cool. They all came out for the meetup. So it's going to be very encouraging, but we're going to start integrating, classes. And, you know, we're not anybody to teach anybody anything.
No.
William has the certifications.
Definitely.
And he's actively doing it and not just doing it, but illustrating it. So I'm going to let him handle that kind of stuff. So it'll have tremendous value. And I mean, that's another thing about our community is, and I think about all communities, you know, when people try to create intentional communities,
you can be
a giver or a taker
very easily.
And the reality is there's always these people and they're like Glommer's honor, right? And they want to come and they want to hang out and they want to extract.
Yeah.
And they want to take, right? But they don't want to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that a community works, it's synergistic and there is give and take. And that doesn't mean that's not a monetary thing. You know, there's lots of ways to participate. There's lots of ways to give back, but you just can't. If all you're going to do is come into a community and take, nobody wants you around.
No.
Okay.
And what I've seen, because we've had a couple people enter into our community with that mindset. And guess what? They left. They did, because everybody noticed that they were just takers and everybody was like, okay, we helped you and we love you.
We're going to cut the spigot off.
We're going to cut the spigot off. And if you want to actually be a giver and help out the rest of the community, go ahead. But you're going to have to go ahead and do that first before we, you know, keep giving back to you.
Right.
And guess what? They left, you know? So that's the beautiful thing about having a, having your community not be on your own property.
Yeah.
You know,
that's very
true. You know, Billy Bob might live 2 miles down the road or a mile down the road, or he might be right next door, but he's not on your property, sharing your property. You know, you want in halves, nothing wrong with going in halves for properties, not saying anything like that, but I'm just saying
it could be complicated.
It can be very complicated if you don't know that person very well. Sure. But yeah, this is kind of how it started off with me and my one neighbor. And we were first kind of trying to do some like type of value system. Like I would trade him one thing and then he would trade me back the other one. And then just kind of like trying to compensate for each other every time we did it. And then we just kind of forgot about that whole stupid thing. And it's just like, dude, if you need to borrow something, come and borrow it. And then the same with me, you know, it's like, if I need your tractor to go brush hog my field, you know, I can pretty much at any time he can call me up and be like, hey, I want to go borrow your tractor. I'd be like, keys are in it. Go take it. You know, but if I need his flatbed, he'll be like, yeah, sure. Go take it. You know? So, we're not keeping tabs on like, oh, okay, I traded you this one thing type of weird thing like that, you know? But like our new neighbors, I don't know if they listen to the podcast or not. I know they're kind of subscribers, but, they just moved in and, he offered up his concrete mixer. Super, I forget what Wrangler Star says, like scooch him, concrete mixer and, some West Coast thing. And,
West Coaster.
And these people and are West Coasters. So there you go. He would know it. Scooch him or something, scook him or something like that.
Super scook him.
Something like that. Concrete mixer, like you dump the concrete in it and mixes it up, adds water, and then it pours it out like a mini concrete truck. It's super cool. And, he was like, hey. He's like, I got it. I'm like, dude, I saw that on Kickstarter. I'm like, that looks so cool. He's like, if you ever are pouring little slabs or anything, you can have it. You know, so he's a giver, you know, and he's awesome like that. You know, everybody has their quirks. You know, we have our quirks.
Yeah, sure.
Other people have their quirks at certain times, you know.
And that, yeah, that's all part of it. That's all part of the community. Nobody's perfect.
Nope.
You know, we're all learning, try,
we're all going to make mistakes.
We're working together.
Once in a while, we're going to tick each other off or something, you know.
That's family.
But, you know, you'll forgive and forget, that's you know, how families type stuff. Are,
you know? Yeah. And, you know, and that's all we're trying to, you know, and the weird thing is we talk about this like it's some kind of concept, right? Or that it's like some kind of new idea. And it really does.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like prepping and homesteading.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it's really what makes it fascinating, because
it just was normal life like 100 years ago.
Yeah, this was normal life. And we got to come up with these new ideas, right? To save society, since, you know, people don't know what gender they are
and
need Kool-Aid to dye their hair.
And that's when people say, oh, we're only getting smarter. No, we are not. We are not getting smarter. Look, we are only getting dumber.
Yeah. Sadly. Evolution is dead. I mean, just observe reality. Yeah. Okay. It's not big.
It is not bigger, better, stronger,
bigger, stronger, faster in an incredibly long period of
Direct
time.
Direct opposite of that.
Yeah. We are becoming non-binary and soft and amorphous and androgynous
and living way less.
Yeah.
Longer.
Yeah. And becoming completely virtual. So the point is categorically reject all of that synthetic stuff, all of this egalitarian, complementarian. You know, if you're a man, embrace the fact that you're a man. If you're a woman, embrace the fact that you're a woman. Be thankful for how God created you and embrace that. And look, there's going to be hurdles to overcome.
Yeah,
and I realize there's, you know, plastics and stuff in the environment, right? And, you know, but all of that can be overcome. And it really, it starts with a return to these old paths.
Yeah.
In a good way. Now there's an absolute scriptural and spiritual reference to all of that, but there's also a very contemporary application to that just applies to real life. And desire an older, more simplified life. Why do these kids, why do these heirs apparent, why don't they want to do this? Well, dad's a fuddy-duddy, and there ain't no money in that stuff. And look, there is. This is what's amazing. Now, there is not remotely enough money in it, doing it the old way, the chemical model.
Sure.
The you know, the monoculture model, there isn't any money in that.
No,
by design, it's been deconstructed.
Yep,
and it's been decentivized and demonetized, you know, by government welfare. And that's the other thing, is every now and then we'll have these bots comment like, oh, farmers are the biggest welfare people there are. And there's a lot of truth to that,
man.
All these monoculture stuff,
yep.
And that's the way big gov and big ag has been able to control it. That's how they've been able to price fix. That's how they've been able to do to like deconstruct the beef industry. I mean, if you just think about it, I mean, when you're in Texas and you're driving and all you see is cows, why in the world are you not buying a local cow?
Yeah.
And why in the world is your neighbor not selling you?
Yeah. Why in the world are these farmers and ranchers taking them to these feedlots
and sale barns
and then selling them? And then those sale barns are shipping them literally overseas.
Yeah.
You know, to get top dollar for it.
Yeah.
And
it's insane because
it really is.
It's just one, it's literally taking the money out of the community.
Yep.
And transnationally redistributing it all over the world. It is taking all of that profit and redistributing it. It's allowing China to cut it up, repackage it, and ship it back and sell it to us for a profit.
Yeah.
And so we're taking the money out of our community. We're giving it to foreign countries, and then we're buying it back from them, creating profit for them. I mean, this is basic. This is economics 101. This is such basic economic concepts and principles. And, you know, this goes right back to loving your neighbor, community, shaking a rancher's hand. Oh, yeah, my neighbor, he has cows.
Yeah.
I'll buy one of his cows. Okay, well, I need somebody to process it. Okay. Well,
find a local processor.
You know, and there have been two new local processors in our area. And these, you know, as long as they're not, a lot of, they get hung up with regulation and permitting.
Yeah.
Like the one processor was held up for almost 2 years. They had this huge investment. Finally open.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
And we love our little microprocessor.
And if you can't find a local processor, maybe you have to become your own mobile processor.
You know? Yeah, and we've talked about that too. Yeah.
Or maybe not mobile, like making it into a business. Maybe you just have to butcher your own.
Or maybe you know? You find somebody in your community that has that skill and they do it.
You go into the old Craigslist and say, hey, I need a cow butchered. Anybody out there know how to butcher a cow?
Yeah. And these
are easy as that.
Yeah. And these are the type of, oh, well, I don't have 50 or 100 acres. I can't run a bunch of head of cow, but I can butcher.
We don't have 100 acres.
Yeah. So I can team up with somebody that has the cows and either for a fee or I can offer my services to their customers. Right. Yeah. And now you have a business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how this works. And that's how it's always worked. Mm-hmm. It was never like, oh, I need beef from my neighbor. So what I'm going to do is he can sell it to China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then some Uyghurs in some Chinese death factory or, you know, people that just got done making your iPhone.
Yeah.
They can chop the cow up and send it back to us for a markup.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And this way, the redistribution of wealth, and we get to like help a communist country and all the irony. And this is all facilitated by our government. This is all facilitated by the District of Criminals, by the big lobby.
To destroy our economy.
By big ag.
Yeah.
Yeah. To make us like China, because that was the Anglo-American model, you know, Bazinia Brzezinski, Heinz Kissinger, you know, Carol Quigley's books. This was the model. And China was the model. They set up China. They sent all of our manufacturing over there to sell it back to us. So, I mean, this is the fruit of all that. So now we're back to what? Well, I don't need a Sony PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to not have a Apple iPhone.
Sure.
You know, what I do need is I need grass-fed beef.
Heck, I would prefer not to have any of this technology crap. And literally just be able to run, you know, my business without any of this technology stuff.
Yeah.
Like that'd be great.
You know, well, we're not Luddites, you know, and there's leverage in it and we'll use it.
Big time leverage.
We'll use it for what it's worth. And there's communication leverage.
Yeah.
We get absolutely. To reach out to y'all. We can communicate back and forth. And then what's really cool is like, we'll be like communicating back and forth in this medium, right? For years.
Incredible.
And then the next thing you know, you have a meetup and you're like, oh yeah, I'm so-and-so. Remember I told you about this? And I'm like, yeah,
no way.
You remember that.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's you.
It's incredible.
You know?
Yeah.
And you get to meet these people and it's great. That's what this community is all about. Yeah. That's what we're going to continue to build and grow.
So definitely seeing the silver lining, seeing the opportunity in this doomsday type of stuff that's all around us, you know? So seeing the opportunity of, oh, all these ranchers and farmers are dying, you know, and fading away. Okay, well, what does that mean? We're going to have really high beef prices. We've already seen really high beef prices because they've been lighting stuff on fire around here like it's nobody's business dumping chemicals everywhere. So that kills a lot of livestock and things like that, and droughts and floods and rains and everything like that. And that's, you know, normal weather stuff, most of it normal, sometimes not.
Some of it.
But anyway, you know, so seeing the opportunity of being like, oh snap, I could get a small little herd started if I got, you know, 5-10 plus acres, you know, and being able to sell to my community and being able to provide a really good, high quality product. Are you going to be able to offer beef for the same price or cheaper than Walmart?
No.
No, you're not. But guess what? People have to understand and wake up and figure out that the product that you are getting, you know, is a highly, just a incredibly high quality product. Yeah, compared to what the you're stuff buying at the store, Walmart.
You have no idea.
You have no idea
what barge it
you
was
don't
on,
even know if where, it's beef.
Yeah, and you don't even
for
know.
For crying out loud, you do not know.
You certainly don't know country of origin.
Nothing.
You have no idea what it's been fed, what it hasn't been
the
fed.
The amount of faith. And hey, and we've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, had to buy organic ground beef, had to buy normal plain Jane. We've been there, you know, Dad made $30,000 his first year down here. And that's what we were doing. Okay. And we were barely even buying beef. We were oats, you know, living off preps, you know, so we know what that's like too. But if you can, you know, to buy high quality beef, and I think that's what we're going to really see here in the next coming decades and years is that, you know, high quality food is going to get so much more valuable, and it's going to be awesome for the local farmer, you know, which is very sad to see them dying off. But for the organic farmer that wants to do things right, and they're going to actually be able to make really good money.
Yeah, sure.
By selling these products,
yeah.
You know? So I think it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword, you know, there's things that are, you know, doing good and things that aren't doing good, but that's life, you know, that's every, you know, there's the always something like that, life. You know, and, you know, good times, bad times. But yeah, you just got to take it with a grain of salt and, yeah, just try to always find the silver lining in things like this.
And that being said, if you're looking for a silver lining, foodforest.com currently has 30% off
still
of their bare root fruit trees. And if you use the code TheTexasBoys10, you'll get an additional 10% off.
That's at a no-brainer.
Foodforestnursery.com.
40% off.
Link is in the description.
40%.
Check them out. And to wrap up, make sure that you're on our email list for two
definitely
things.
Definitely.
If you're local and you want to pick up meat, you want to be on our email list, because once we line out our next cow, we're going to start taking orders again. So you're going to want to be on that email list. You're also going to want to be on our email list for our local meetup. It should be at Grumpy's Garden Club next month in June.
I might just go ahead and maybe make a page on the website.
Yeah.
That would probably be better too.
I said that at the beginning of the podcast, but you weren't apparently paying attention.
Oh, you did?
But yeah, I said we were going to
I'm tired. I'm so tired. It went right over my head. Sure. I didn't hear you.
Sure. But I'm used to it, son. So that's okay.
There you go.
That's what being a dad's all about. But yeah.
So we're going to make, possibly going to make a page on the website. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But so get on our email list, check out the website, thetexasboys.com. We love and appreciate y'all. It's been another great week.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just keep on keeping on, taking it to the next level. We don't retreat. We don't surrender.
Yeah.
We press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that's what we do. And we're going to keep on doing it. And we love and appreciate y'all. And remember, y'all, stay fearless, my friends.